Well, I'm willing to bet that today you didn't show up here prepared to take a test. This isn't meant to be a trick question, but I've got one for you. What do you think is the main reason most people pray? We're in this series called I've Got Questions, and that's not actually the question we're going to deal with today. Hang with me. We'll eventually get there. I just want you to kind of start thinking in your mind, what is the main reason most people pray? Some of you, you got your answer already. You pushed the that's my final answer button, and you are like ready to move on. But some of you are kind of thinking to yourself, main reason? Man, I pray for all kinds of reasons. I mean, I would fall into that camp. There's many reasons that I come to the Lord every day and multiple times through the day, and I present my request again. And so also right now I'm feeling this tension that's building up within me because I'm struggling with the fact, main reason, that means that there's a right answer. And the last thing I want to do is give the wrong answer. But that's a therapy session for me later. We'll deal with that on my own. But I kind of wonder, what's the main reason most people pray? Probably, if we would all just kind of share our answers collectively, we would be able to kind of pull them together, and this is what we would find. I'm sure that we would agree that most of the time, when people pray, the main reason we pray is because we want God to do something for us. Amen? I mean, it's kind of like we bring our requests, we want to kind of just present them to God, and most of the time, the reason that we're praying is we're like, God, man, I've got this need in my life. I want you to do something about it. Or there's the need of someone that we love and that we care that we're asking God, man, I sure would love it if you would do something about their situation. Main reason most of us pray is because we want God to do something for us. And that's okay. That truly is okay because Scripture we can read throughout the Old Testament especially and see how God commands his people to come before him, to present their request to him, to let them know or to let him know that the burden's on their heart. We see in the New Testament about how we're supposed to pray continually. We're supposed to bring our requests. We're supposed to cast all of our cares there at his feet so that he can pick them up and that he can carry our burdens. I mean, it's very, very common. In fact, even Jesus is in line with this idea of, I want you to present your requests to me. Present your requests to the Heavenly Father. So this morning, let's get into the Word. And let's grab our Bibles and let's go to the book of Matthew. It's first gospel of the New Testament. Grab your Bibles. Open up to Matthew chapter 7. Or go ahead and open up whatever app you're using to access the Word. We've done it for you. If you'll open up to our app, and you'll see on the sermon notes, and you'll see these different areas that we kind of guide you through, and you'll be able to take some notes, etc. But here's the deal, is that Jesus is given probably his most infamous teaching. You and I might remember that it's called the Sermon on the Mount. Huge crowd of people have gathered, and he's starting to talk about what it looks like to be living a life that is part of his kingdom. And he's hitting all of these like high points of the aspects in our life that we're going to deal with. Lots of relationship issues about how we interact with one another, how we deal with some of the challenges in our life, what it looks like to have this, relationship with the Heavenly Father compared to the relationship with one another. And right as he gets near the end of his teaching, here in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives us an incredible command. And it begins in verse 7, if you will. Go ahead and look at it. And here's what Jesus says. Chances are you've heard these words if you've been around God's Word very long. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Not only is Jesus telling us that this kind of prayer is okay? Meaning, it is okay that we pray where we are wanting God to do something for us. Ask, seek, knock. But not only does Jesus say this kind of prayer is okay, Jesus is telling us this kind of prayer works. You receive. You find. Doors are opened. But again, how many of us would agree that it doesn't work every time? You don't have to raise your hands. But I bet you that every one of us would recognize that there are times, man, I have like asked over and over. Man, I have been searching. And I have been knocking. And I continue to not get the answer that I wanted. Not what it is that I look for. Man, you prayed for a healing. You didn't receive it. They didn't receive it. You prayed for answers. You didn't find any. You prayed for a job. And the door, it just wasn't opened. And so it's kind of like, oh man, there's these moments in our life where we keep coming to this point where we want to do what God tells us. And then when we do what God tells us, the answer doesn't come up the way that we expected it to come up. And so we are in this series called I've Got Questions. And a question that many people, including those of you here in our community, you've asked this question, something along this line, and this is the question. Does it really matter if I pray? I mean, does it really matter? I mean, it's like you took your needs, you took your desires, you took your burdens, and you brought them to the Lord. And he didn't do what you asked him to do. So there are those moments in your life where you keep asking, does it really matter if I pray? I mean, what's the use? And then there are times where it's like we understand according to Scripture, we've learned over and over again that God possesses infinite wisdom and that God possesses also all knowledge. And so if God knows everything that's going to happen and also God knows everything that's not going to happen, does it really matter if we pray? I mean, we kind of want to know, it's what is it that prayer is supposed to do? I mean, we're scratching our heads and we say, will it really change anything? Well, I just want to offer really quick. The answer to this question is yes. But before we get up and just walk out of here, let me show you why. Let me show you why it matters. So we go back to Jesus' teaching there when he says, ask, seek, and knock. And let's dig in a little bit more about what else Jesus is offering to us. So we pick it up right there in the very next line. He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Well, what Jesus is doing here is he's appealing to the parents that are in the crowd, the parents that are in the room, and the parents who have ever existed. And he's saying, hey, you know, when your kid comes to you and expresses a desire, when your kid comes and asks a question, hey, can I have? Hey, can I do? Hey, can I, you know, whatever? Or you're watching them and you're seeing that they're experiencing some hardship or some struggle. And that as a parent, you have this incredible, overwhelming burden, but also this feeling and response that you want to respond to what it is that they're asking for. I mean, parents find great joy in providing enjoyment for their children, do we not? I mean, it's just this idea that, man, we want to spoil them sometimes and not feel guilty about it. We want to kind of remove the barriers and the obstacles and protect them from those mean girls, you know, leave my daughter alone kind of situation. I mean, it's just like whatever we can do to resolve whatever the struggle, the burden, or even the desire that they have, we would love as parents to step in and make it all better. And Jesus is saying, if you parents, even though you're evil, I mean, let's face it, you're not perfect. If you dig the idea of resolving the issues and the struggles in your kid's life, don't you think your Heavenly Father wants the very same and even more? And of course, the answer is yes. And so the key to this teaching Jesus wants to see is right here. It's in good gifts. It's in good gifts. Because here's what happens. Every wise parent knows that our kids, when they ask for things, they think that they're asking for bread. But a wise parent knows that what they're actually asking for, what they really want, is a stone. You see, the wise parent can recognize that when our kids come to them and present this request and they want to kind of like, you know, have mom and dad do something or give them something or resolve something, whatever it might be, even when it's the challenges, they think that what they're asking for is a fish, but wise parents can recognize, that is a snake. Let me illustrate it this way. Parents, especially of young kids moving through elementary age and then right into that adolescence of junior high, are being faced more and more every day with the challenges of discerning what is good and what is not so good, and discerning what the right decisions are to help their children not just resolve the problems, but also grow and mature. And so it's this like, how do we do that? And one of probably the most like one of most common, one of the biggest battlegrounds right now for parents and children in that age of like upper elementary and junior high and so on, is the battleground called the cell phone. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you parents have been asked by your kid, "Can I have a cell phone?" And they want the cell phone because it's like everybody else has got one. Everybody else has this one. And even, you know, your clever kid knows that if you would give me a cell phone, you could get a hold of me anytime you want. That is a stone if I ever heard one. And you recognize and you understand that, man, they want these things and we're trying to figure that out. I just read a book recently. I was with a group of incredible young husbands and fathers that I get the privilege and honor to meet with on a monthly basis. And we read through this book, and the author was talking about the challenges of an internet-soaked world that our children, not just you and I are living in, but our children are growing up in and don't know anything different. And so the author was talking about, you know, he's got this great friend who is a counselor that works with a lot of kids and with parents with kids. And over again, he's presented with the challenges of kids growing up in a world where Satan can just be handed to them and have been given easy access to the influences of the world, where you can use that cell phone. I mean, let's all admit that the least used function of a cell phone is what? The phone. To make a phone call. It's just the reality. And so the idea is that they have access to so much more. And so the author asked his counselor friend, he says, "What is a good age to give my kid a cell phone?" And the counselor said, "When you're ready for their childhood to end." You see, wise parents can distinguish between gifts and good gifts. And so can your Heavenly Father. And he understands and he recognizes that it's this idea that there comes this point where we've got to discern what it looks like to give gifts that are good and when gifts are not so good, no matter how many times they ask for it. The same thing happens in our life. You see, your Heavenly Father wants you to have only good gifts. Not just your children. He wants you to only have good gifts. I mean, earlier in his sermon when Jesus was speaking there to the huge crowd from the mountainside, he talked to them about prayer, which is, again, what this passage helps us understand. But he spoke specifically about the idea of prayer, and he tells them, and he's telling you and me, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And so then does it really matter if I pray? I mean, if he already knows everything I got, why do I need to voice my needs to him? Why do I need to come to him and present my requests to him? I think what we really need to stop back and maybe consider is God knows what I need. Do I? I mean, God knows what you need. Do you really know what it is that you need? And I know that there's this idea that maybe the answer was no to your request because it wasn't what you truly needed. Maybe the answer to your prayer was no because it really wasn't what you needed. May not have been what they needed. And I know that for some of you right now, that sounds awful. It sounds cold. It sounds insensitive, even downright mean. I cannot believe that God would say no in that situation to that person that I love and that I care for. The pain that we all went through, I understand that it's hard. But God is a good Father. He truly is a good Father. And even when we don't understand him and we don't understand why he does some of the things he does, we've got to recognize he is a good Father and his word tells us, I only give good gifts. And so we have to wrestle with that. Maybe our prayer life is really the best barometer of our belief in who God is and what it is that he's capable of doing. I would offer it matters that we pray simply because when we pray, we invite God into our lives. We invite God into our lives when we pray and when we go to him and when we share our requests and we open up. And really what happens is that maybe prayer is not about seeking something. Maybe prayer is seeking someone. That's worth writing down. Maybe prayer isn't all about seeking something, but instead our prayer needs to be about seeking someone. Where we're able to form this relationship with our Heavenly Father, where we trust in him and where we come to him and we've got these burdens and we've got these questions and we've got these struggles and we're kind of asking him, Lord, come in, reveal yourself to me, let me know who you are and open up my heart so that I can really see the needs that are within me. I mean, this is what John the apostle was speaking about in his letter in 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, here's what we read. It says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. I mean, this is an incredible promise. This is an incredible statement, and it gives to us this confidence. This confidence that when we present our requests to the Lord, He will answer them and He will give them to us if they are according to His will. According to His will. Recognizing, again, that the Lord knows what we need. The Lord understands what is best. He understands what these good gifts are. With this confidence, we know that God is going to give us what it is that we ask for when it's in line with His will. He knows what you need. And this is so important for you to understand, because you can have a great prayer ritual. Meaning like, man, it's the same place. It is at the same time. It's at the same routine. I mean, it's like I am committed to it and I go through this. And you can pray with great passion. You can even have tears streaming down your face. But John makes it vividly clear that God moves to answer prayers that are in agreement with His will. God will move heaven and earth to answer prayers that are in agreement with His will. And sometimes I forget about that part. I'm waiting for Him to move heaven and earth, or at least someone, because it's in agreement with my will, but it's not in agreement with His will. And God wants me to have these good gifts, and I can't always tell the difference between the good gift and the not good for me gift. I mean, there comes these points where it's like, I prayed for a job because I knew that that new job was going to make things better for my family. Maybe God wants to tell you, had you gotten that new job, you would have lost your family. We don't know that. But I'm going to place my trust in that the Lord understands. And He leads and He guides and He gives only good gifts to His children. And so I need to take my cue from Jesus and pray, Lord, not my will be done, but Yours. There He is in the garden. He's praying the night that He's arrested. And I know that we just celebrated Easter a couple of weeks ago, but just for a second, the scripture tells us, Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Lord, if it is possible, I really don't want to go to the cross. Do you understand that had Jesus gotten what He asked for, you and I would not have the hope of a resurrection. Do you understand that? And so the Lord knows where it breaks His heart and His Son has to sacrifice His life. No one at the scene of the cross, no one there that weekend thought that it was a good thing. No one thought that this is a good gift. The Heavenly Father knew that. And so when you and I have these challenges and these hardships in our life and we feel as if the Lord is telling us no and He is just grumpy and mean and cold and insensitive, I want you to trust that when we pray and we come to Him, we're inviting Him into our life so that He can reveal Himself to us. Because it'll change us. And so when we pray, Lord, not my will be done, but Yours. I'm not pulling punches here. That is a difficult prayer to pray. Is it not? I mean, it's a hard one to pray. Not my will, but Yours be done. I mean, I think it's pretty easy to see why this is so hard. Because when I pray, not mine, when I say that it's not what I want, what it really means is that I have to let go of my desires. And I'm not speaking for you, only for me. It is hard for me to let go of my desires and pick up someone else's, even those that I love the closest, because there are sometimes I just am selfish. There are some times where I just feel like, I deserve this. Sometimes I just feel as if, like, you know what? How about a little love for me every once in a while? And that is so, so selfish of my own heart. Hindsight is 20/20 vision. I've learned this, I'm sure that you have, is that we always get a better picture of what God was doing when we can look back at a situation. Can we not? I mean, there are so many times in our life where we've endured some hardship, something painful. We've endured something that didn't make any sense to us at all. But there's just this incredible wisdom that comes with looking back after a little while and being able to have clearer vision of what God was doing. You see, we have to look back to get a real good picture of what was happening. The Lord is capable of seeing real clear what's happening in our future. He's able to understand that, and we trust in Him. And so there is this idea of that it truly matters that we pray, because what takes place is prayer aligns our heart with God's heart. When we pray and when we come to the Lord and we present our request to Him and we lay out all those things that we're asking and seeking and knocking, it's this idea of, especially when we say, not my will though, Lord. I mean, this is what I want, but not my will. What we're truly doing is in those moments again and again and again of speaking with the Lord is that it aligns our heart with God's heart. Prayer's not intended to change the mind of God, but it's intended to change the heart of man. That's another one that's worth writing down. Prayer is not intended to change the mind of God. It's intended to change the heart of man. And so when we go to the Lord, we understand that He's at work in us. And when we look for His will to be accomplished, it's where we are able to let go of our desires, even though it doesn't make sense to us. It's not easy to change our hearts. And I can guarantee you, you already know this, it's not going to happen overnight. It is a slow process. But what I've learned is that the more I pray, the more it changes me. The more I pray, the more it changes me. James tells us that if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And so the closer you get to God, the better you will know Him and understand Him and start to think and act like Him. This past weekend, I was at my mom's house in Indiana. We just recently moved her into assisted living. And so we're emptying and moving things out of the house and starting to go through everything. So we had this estate sale on Friday and Saturday. And right around the corner from where my mom lives, our daughter and her family live right there in this small community. So what was really cool was on Friday and Saturday, I got to see my grandkids and my daughter. But it was the idea... I love her dearly, but you know, she comes over and I get to see Henry and Lily and just get to hang out with them. And what happened was that both times when Henry came over, he kind of walks in. Now Henry is going to turn 3 next month. And so he's just this little guy, and he's, you know, learning about all about life. And as he walks into the house and he comes through the kitchen, I hear Henry say, "Well, what do we have here?" Everybody who heard that just thought, "Oh, that is so cute." I was like, "Where did he hear that?" He heard it from his mom. I asked her, I said, "That's cracking me up," because he would say that in almost every room he would walk in. "Well, what do we have here?" And she said, "He's heard me say that a couple of times, and now it's just all that he says." My point is simple. That the more time we spend with our Heavenly Father, the more we're going to start to sound and act and think like our Heavenly Father. That's what our prayer life does for us. That's what we do in those moments. Imagine what might happen if the main reason people prayed was no longer because we wanted God to do something for us, but instead, the main reason we pray is because we want God to do what He wants for us. We pray not because, hey, Lord, this is what I'd like for you to do for me, but we pray, Lord, this is what I'm giving you access to do whatever you want for me. And so this Wednesday night, we're going to have a prayer gathering. And the purpose of our prayer gathering is simple. Lord, your will be accomplished in our life as well as in the lives of those that we know and love. We understand that there are many, many people who do not know and experience the love of Jesus Christ. And our desire is that the Lord would move in a way that His gift of salvation would be given to all and that it would be received by all. And so we gather on a monthly basis to pray that God would move in us and through us for His kingdom purposes, so that the world around us, specifically just within a 25-minute drive of here, 265,000 people who do not know Jesus, people that you know and that you love and that you care deeply for, that you want them to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So my prayer is that you will participate in inviting God to be a part of your life and where you place yourself, where you're ready to let your heart be aligned with God's heart. And God's heart is that no one would perish. So I want to encourage you to be here this Wednesday and to pray with us. If you show up, you don't have to pray out loud, but know that we'll pray with you. And together, the Lord's will be our focus. We pray, Lord, show me what you want from me. Lord, show me what it is that you're doing in my life. So our question this morning is, does it really matter if I pray? I mean, does it really change anything? I think so. Especially if the primary purpose of prayer is to know God and not just get stuff. Our prayer life connects us with the Lord. And we understand what His will is for us. And His will is that you would understand He gave you His Son to die in your place so that you might have everlasting life. And if you would just receive that gift, that you would claim it and walk freely in the salvation and in the hope of new life. My prayer is that you choose Jesus today, that you understand that He has given you something that you can just grab a hold of and walk assuredly with and have this confidence of salvation. Would love to have that conversation with you to move forward in uniting yourself with Jesus, His death, His burial, and His resurrection through baptism. We can have a baptism conversation at any time. Check it off on the Connect card. Stop by at the Next Step Center. We would love to pray with you and help you in that journey. In fact, let's pray right now. You know, Lord, we are grateful. Grateful that you love us. Grateful, Father, that you know what's best. Whoa, that is a hard prayer, though, Lord, because I have to let go and surrender. That I have to trust that you truly do have my best interest in your hands and in your mind and in your heart. And so, Lord, my prayer is that in spending time with you, I recognize that you can be trusted. Lord, that you are a God who knows what is good for me. That is the gift of eternal life, the salvation that you made, the presence of Jesus in my life, trusting in Him. God, thanks for loving us. Thanks for bringing us together. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray all of this. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship together.